guys. So, you know, as with most movies, we'll see what they do to it, but still kind of a cool story. And Frasier is playing Chuck Smith, or Kelsey Grammer, but doesn't really look like him. Kind of does, but that'd be fun. And yeah, Caitlin's not with us today because they are celebrating their anniversary, so they're up in the mountains, but we'll get her at some point with this birthday. Maybe next year, I don't know, at some point. All right, so we're going to continue down this spiritual gift kind of field trip. You know, got away from Romans a little bit. When we talked about the gifts in Romans, I thought it might be a good idea to explain the other gifts in Ephesians and in 1 Corinthians because there might be some confusion. In fact, spiritual gifts is one of the biggest confusing things taught in the church today or understood within the church today. It's also one of the biggest that's abused, more particularly the ones we're going to talk about today. So remember, there's three groups of spiritual gifts. One, the kind of motivational gifts. Those are the ones in Romans that it talks about, hey, this is how you're kind of wired. This is what moves you. This is what motivates you. And the biggest takeaway from that is that God gives these gifts and that we should not esteem ourselves higher or our gift higher than any other gift. And that's a big danger. When we try to push whatever our gift is, or we, because we're bent that way, we're wired that way, and we think the church should go that way, we're in a sense kind of esteeming our gift as higher than the others. So we got to remember that as the church, we are a body. And a body has different members, and it functions together as one body. So we need all parts. We need all pieces. And we need everybody to be doing their part. It's like my left hand can't say to my right hand, hey, right hand, you're not doing your share. I think you should be more left-handed. Well, it just doesn't work that way, does it? And it shouldn't work that way in the church either. Last week, we talked about the gifts for the ministry. And these are gifts that God gives us to operate within the ministry realm, right? The church. And those gifts are there for edification of the body, to build the body up. Now, today we're going to talk about the manifestation gifts. This is the gifts that prove the Holy Spirit are in you, okay? If you see these gifts, it's the Holy Spirit working in you. And just like the other two sets of gifts, we all have them. God gives it to us. That's the most important thing to remember. Now, the thing with the manifestation gifts is it can become very confusing. In fact, there are some groups out there that'll say, hey, unless you demonstrate some of these gifts, we don't believe you're saved. You'll get saved, and they're like, well, prove it. Where's the speaking in tongues? Where's the prophesying? Where's the, you know, the gifts of helps or the gifts of whatever, miracles? And if you don't have it, then you can imagine the kind of fear that you would have within your own self going, gosh, I don't know. Maybe I better fake something so that I am saved. And it's a big danger of that. And it happens all the time. Hopefully today, as we complete these gifts, and these nine in particular in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll have a good understanding of what the gifts are, the purpose of them, who gives them to them, well, we know the answer to that, and what we're supposed to be doing with them. All right, so open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll pick it up in verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one who can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works in all of these, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Okay, so our last section concerning spiritual gifts, and then we'll get back to the book of Romans. But notice what he says here in verse 1. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, talking to the church, he says, don't be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. Now that word ignorant can take two forms. One, I'm ignorant or I don't know the facts. Or two, I know the facts, but I'm ignoring them. So there's two kind of takes on that word, being ignorant. Yes, I know it, but I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to choose my own path. I'm going to choose my own interpretation of this. I'm going to choose my own way. Or, I just really don't know. Either way, Paul says, don't be ignorant. Don't ignore it. And if you don't understand it, you should learn it. You should know it. This is a very important thing. If God was saying, hey, I'm going to give you a gift, let's just take John 3:16, for example. For God so loved the world that he gave a gift. And what was that gift? His only begotten Son. And whosoever shall receive this gift shall not perish but have eternal life. So now, is that a gift that you want to receive? Absolutely. So does God have other gifts? Absolutely. Do you want to receive those gifts too? Absolutely. So these are gifts. And I think part of the problem concerning spiritual gifts is, one, we don't understand them because we're ignorant. Or two, right, because of the culture around us, we have been mistaught or, you know, the application of spiritual gifts has been given out wrong. And we're afraid. It's like, well, I kind of think I'm doing this, but you know, if I step out and do it, I might be wrong. And what are people going to say? What is the church going to say? And so I'm just not going to do anything. And they sit on it. Or they're ignorant in the fact of, hey, God gave you this gift for a purpose because you are part of that body. You are the left hand that the body needs. You are the right toe, big toe, that the body needs. And you are very important to the church. Did you know that? You are very important to the church. Now, I know the enemy likes to lie to you, likes to lie to me, and say, you know what, you're not very important. They'll never miss you. It doesn't matter if you're there. You're insignificant. That is simply not true. That's like saying to your body, yeah, left foot, I don't need you anymore. Haven't used you in a while. You know, you really don't have an important role, but then as soon as you miss it, it's gone. Have you ever hurt yourself? Like you know, nailed your thumb with a hammer or something like that. And after you do that, you'll notice, you'll say, I hit this dumb thing on everything. Right? You're walking by and you're like, man, I hit it on the door. I hit it on the chair. I hit it here. I'm bumping my thumb. You're doing that all the time. Did you know that? You just don't realize it because it's not sore. It's not sensitive. So once you realize that you are vitally needed in the church, you should be sensitive to that. And when you're gone, we're walking around, walking into walls, going, bam, wham, wow, where's that person? That really hurts. And when you apply your spiritual gift, the same thing applies. Okay? So don't be ignorant. He goes on into verse 2, and he says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to those dumb idols, however you were led, right? So they're going from their old tradition, their own way of thinking, their own worship, and they're being carried away by those dumb idols. Paul's mentioning that. A good example of that would be, you know, when Elijah took on all the prophets. And what were they doing? They were dancing around and yelling at their God and cutting themselves, and they were doing all these rituals. And they thought that they had all these gifts and all these things. So Paul is saying, hey, you did that as a Gentile. He says, guess what? You were carried away. However, you were led away. But guess what? We're no longer going to do that because that is all false. That's all a counterfeit to the real deal. Check out verse 3. Therefore, I make known to you, right? I'm making known to you not the false teaching, the false things that you followed as Gentiles, but that nobody speaking by the Spirit calls Jesus accursed. So you cannot, by the Spirit of God, call Jesus accursed. So, if someone says Jesus is God, how is that happening? It's happening by the Spirit. Do you understand that? That's why a lot of people can't say that Jesus is God, because they're accursed. They haven't been saved. They haven't been. But he's going on, and he's going to bring this back here to verse 2, and he says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he says, the old way that you were led away as Gentiles, worshiping these false idols, doing these acts, listen, nobody can do those same kind of acts, those same kind of things as a follower of Jesus without the Holy Spirit. He's bringing that back together by way of example, because when they were doing it as a Gentile, they were just kind of on their own, kind of making up the rules as they wanted to, or however they were led, it says. Okay, that's kind of building the context there. So important to understand, just like we read in Romans and Ephesians, that both sets of those two gifts, the motivation gifts and the ministry gifts, were led by the Holy Spirit. And now we get to Corinthians. Guess what? Same thing. Check it out. There are diversities, verse 4, in the gifts. There are differences. There are differences in the gifts, but the same what? Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities. Right there, he's just covered all three of them. You see what he's saying there? There are diversities of gifts, motivational gifts. There are differences of ministries, what we covered last week, ministerial gifts. How's that word for you guys? And there are diversities of activities, the ones we're going to cover now. And all three of these are the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. Kind of interesting, isn't it? But it is all three, and some people could break this down and go, oh, this is, do we see the Trinity there? I mean, you could play with that if you wanted to, but it doesn't matter because the Trinity is what? Three in one. And that's exactly what it goes on to say there in verse 6. But it is the same God who works in all. It works in all. So whenever you're dealing with spiritual gifts, you must remind yourself, this is a gift from God. It is nothing that I acquired. It is not a skill set that I learned. It wasn't something that I picked up by going to school. No. Remember when Paul was walking around doing miracles? And some people came up to him and said, hey, teach us that. We'll pay you money. And he's like, I can't do that. We get the same thing. We've kind of been talking about different churches and things, and sometimes you got to be careful because you'll hear of an activity or God moving in a particular church. The Holy Spirit may be doing one of these gifts, and everybody's like, oh, we got to go there. And then all of a sudden somebody says, well, I want people to come here too, so let's manufacture something so that we draw the people. You guys may remember those, the televangelists, and you know, where the people would come up in the wheelchairs and walk and stuff. And now, can God do miracles? Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? Were they all stooges? You know what a stooge is? A stooge is someone who was put into place to play the role of an actor, right? So were they all? I don't know. I don't have the knowledge to speak of that. And if somebody who was disabled actually got healed, it wasn't a work of that Yahoo. It was the work of God. So it's interesting because when we look at like kind of false ministries, if you will, false teachers, and we say, well, how can anybody get saved in there? And the answer is yes. When we look at cults, and we'd be like, can people get saved in a cult? The answer is yes. Not because of the leader or the person who's teaching, but because of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can work anywhere and everywhere. And that's what we've got to remind ourselves. But it is of God. So now we're going to get into verse 7, what we call the manifestation gifts. And this is the gifts that we outwardly see the Holy Spirit kind of working in our lives. You can break these down, these revelation gifts, they call them, as revelation and then power gifts. Kind of break them up into two categories if you want. But let's take a look at these individually and see if we can understand them so we are not ignorant. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. So, is it a limited group of who gets it and who doesn't? No, it says each one. And what's the point of it? The point is the profit of all. That's another thing that just kind of drives me a little bonkers about people who proclaim to have these gifts. And you still see them all over today, right? They'll claim that they have a gift, a revelation from God, a special power of healing. They walk around and they say, well, I've got the gift of healing. If somebody ever says that to you, be like, okay, thanks, nope, see ya. Right? Because if they say, I have the gift of healing, who is it profiting? Them, right? Now, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging when God gives you a gift and he works in your life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about claiming it and kind of walking in an arrogance about it. And you guys know what I'm talking about. You've seen the type, right? Hey, God gave me a vision last night, and if you tune in to my podcast, and it's only $9.95, I'll share with you what God said. Who's that profiting? Them. Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's probably one of the biggest, scariest ones of all, right? The gift of prophecy. Because if God gives you a little bit of insight, and we'll get into it in a minute. It's not just foretelling of the future like we talked about last week. But if God says, hey, this is going to happen, and you go out there and share that, and it doesn't happen, oh boy. Right? Well, what if, God, it doesn't happen? Well, we'll talk about, usually with these gifts, you'll get another gift alongside of it, the gift of faith. But, you know, that's a scary one there too. I mean, you can't fake that one. All those people that said, hey, the election's going to be turned around on January 6th, how'd that work out for them? They got a shift now, don't they? He's going to get reelected in 24. And what if that doesn't happen? Uh-oh, what do we got to do? We got a shift. It's like, well, if God really spoke, he doesn't contradict himself, and he's not wrong. Now, God sometimes speaks and it says, yeah, not yet, right? It could be later. That could absolutely be true. But we just got to be careful with that because a lot of people, you can jump on YouTube and you can go back to all those proclamations. Every time the world was supposed to end, 88 reasons why the world's going to end in 88. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? Didn't happen. You know, and let me just share with you one thing about that, because if you're interested in that real quick. We are given the signs and the times, but the day or the hour, Jesus says, I don't even know that. He says, only my Father in heaven knows that, right? We can know the signs and the seasons, yes, but the day or the hour. And if you follow the festival calendar as far as the prophecy fulfillment, which, you know, it's pretty accurate so far. You know, the feast of, the next feast, the Feast of Trumpets, was also called the Feast of the Unknown Day or Hour, because it could have came at any time, right? It was the only feast they had to watch and wait for the smoke to come out. and they couldn't see it. And by the way, the people right next to the temple could see it faster than the people who were 100 miles away. So just something to think about, right? So don't get caught up in that, guys, right? Don't be ignorant. Paul even says that about the end times. Don't be ignorant. Know this stuff. And if you're ready, then it doesn't matter. It can happen today. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen a year from now. It could happen 10 years from now. It could happen 100 years from now. Just that's the point of that. Okay, so it's for the profit of all. So listen to me. When you withhold that gift, and most of the time we withhold that gift because we're either prideful. Oh, how do you mean we're prideful? Usually prideful or usually overzealous with their gift. Nope. If I withhold my gift and with the fear of looking silly, that's pridefulness. Did you know that? Because I don't want to look silly. You know, that's pride. I don't want to pray because I might say something wrong and I might embarrass myself. Who are you praying to? That group of people? Or are you praying to God? Does God say up there, ah, man, you were so close. That prayer just wasn't quite there. Do you think he's saying that? No, he's up there going, man, thanks for talking to me. Because we neglect that so much, right? He's like, I don't care what you say. I don't care how you say it. I just want to hear from you. And so who cares? Who cares? But when you withhold that gift, the body is handicapped. The body is in need. The body can't flourish. The body can't profit. And when I say profit, I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about everything, spiritually, mainly spiritually. We handicap. So see, you're needed. You're vital. You're critical to this body. The gift that God has given you is critical. And he only gave it to you. Just to you. And we need you. That's what this is saying. Let's go on to verse 8. For one, it is given the word of wisdom. Through the Spirit. A word of wisdom. So here's what's interesting. What is wisdom? Wisdom is applied knowledge. That's kind of how I view it. You've ever heard that saying, you know, knowledge is power. You know, no, it's not. It's potential power. I can know everything there is to know about everything, but until I apply it, there's no power to it, right? When I do something and people are like, how'd you know to do that? That was powerful. Yeah, came from my knowledge, but I applied it and therefore I became powerful in that. So see, there is a difference with wisdom. Now this wisdom is a word. Check it out. The word of wisdom. So it is the spoken word, okay? It's something spoken. And with the individuals with this gift, they actually speak out and they have the ability to make a decision that is properly applied to whatever the situation is. Okay? It is a wisdom that isn't just from trial and error in their own lives, because we could, you know, fake that, right? Well, I don't know. This is what I would do. This is what I did in the past. You know, I'm building from my experience. If it's coming from the Spirit, if it's coming from God, you know, you're not building upon yourself. You're just like, yeah, I'd do this. And most of the time, here's how I found that this has worked in my life, and I've shared this with you guys many times, right? You never get that aha moment. You're like, you start to shake and tremble. Your body starts to heat up, and you're like, hold on, the Lord's about to speak. It doesn't happen. I mean, maybe it does for some people, but it doesn't for me, right? It happens with me in this just kind of casual conversation, and something will just come out, and I'll just say something, and I don't know where it came from, and most of the time it's like kind of shrug it off like nothing, and then all of a sudden it happens, and you're like, whoa. Do you remember when you said that? I was like, yeah, kind of. It's kind of weird, huh? No, it was exactly what I needed. Must have been from God. And why does God work that way? Well, in my opinion, for me, it's because he doesn't want to share his glory with me. Because, you know, man, I could put on a show, right? I could be like, hold on, church. Dave, here it comes for you. And then everybody's like, oh, he's so in touch with God. Right? That's giving me glory. God's like, yeah, I'm not going to give you a big head. My head's already big enough. Remember that game Dig Dug? Do you remember that? In the 80s, right? The little guy would dig around. He had an air bike pump, and he'd find the monsters, and he'd throw his little hose out, and he'd pump them up until they popped. Yeah, you guys remember that game? Wow. So I'll tell Heidi sometimes, like, don't Dig Dug me. Don't puff me up until I pop. Right? That's kind of funny. But that's what it is. It's a supernatural understanding of a situation with the applied knowledge of how to deal with it. And God will give this to you. And I think it's going to be in that casual kind of conversation. Now, again, guys, this is where we got to be careful. Because God may be putting that on your heart, right? Say this. And you don't really know. You're just like, hey, I just have this thought. And you're like, nah, I'm not going to say it. It sounds silly. What are you doing? How do you know? And then be careful and don't be saying, whoa, hold on. God's given me something. Right? Find that balance. Find that balance. But that's how it works in my life. It might be completely different for you. You might get, you know, little tinglies up your spine. I don't know. I don't. You might. I don't want to discount that. I just want to say, just be careful, right? When God does that stuff in my life, I'm more in awe than anything. I'm like, gosh, man, I can't believe you like actually used me. It kind of blows me away. And it's kind of encouraging because it's like, yeah, God is using me, you know? That's kind of how it happens for me. So continuing on, verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Do you see that so far? It's kind of, he's going to hammer spirit, because we forget where it comes from. Have you ever had somebody come to you and go, man, you have such great faith. I wish I had your faith. And you're like, yeah, I got some pretty good faith, huh? Oh, it's taken me a while. I wasn't always there. Careful. The faith it's talking about is not a salvation faith, okay? Because everybody has been given that same kind of measure of faith, right? We've all given a little bit of that ability to believe. This is talking about spiritual gifts. And this is also talking about a unique faith for a particular circumstance or situation. Maybe you're in a difficult spot with a big decision to make. And you're sitting there going, yeah, I really don't know, but it's going to be okay. Everybody else around you is panicking and freaking out. Everybody's like, man, I don't know how we're going to deal with this. I don't know how. Aren't you frightened? Aren't you afraid? Aren't you scared? Why aren't you all nervous? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just, I've got a faith. It's going to be okay. That is a special faith given to you by the Holy Spirit at that exact time and that exact moment to deal with that situation. Okay? Me and Heidi have a perfect example of that with little Rebecca back there. Not so little anymore, right? She got her own little ones. When she was 16 years old, right when we came to this church, about that time, wasn't it? It was about that time. Yeah? She had liver cancer. And it was a wild, wild, crazy ride, right? She was in cheerleading, and she was holding this girl up. The girl fell, kind of kicked her in the side, on her way down, and she was like, man, something really hurts. I think I broke a rib or something. So we take her in, and nope, nothing broken. She's like, oh, you guys don't, and I'm paraphrasing, you know. She's like, you guys don't really understand. This is really painful. So So they went in and did an ultrasound or whatever and found this mass on her liver. And it was just like off to the races. I mean, it was crazy. Went in and took it all out. And come to find out, there were like, what, 7 survivors of that particular cancer at the time. And she became the 8th, right? No symptoms, no nothing. If that kick wouldn't have happened, we wouldn't have known about it. She wouldn't have been here today, right? Because that was just gone. So during that time, me and Heidi were like, yeah, it's good. We're going to be okay. And never once did we, well, I don't want to speak for her, never for once did we really freak out. It was the weirdest thing. The whole family around us was like losing their mind. In fact, we got criticized because we weren't in a corner, balled up, crying. And I couldn't explain it to you. We just knew it was going to be okay. I don't know. It was just the weirdest thing. We really didn't struggle with it at all. That was a gift of faith for that particular moment. Looking back, like, holy cow, I'm in a corner. Right? Looking into a situation, wow, if this ever happened to my kid, man, it would be crazy, right? It was a unique opportunity. Maybe you have one story similar to that, but that's what this is. It's a special gifting of faith for a particular situation or a particular circumstance to get through. A lot of the great historians of the Christian faith, right, that were being burned at the stake, I imagine that they were given a gift of faith at that moment to get through that, right? I'm pretty sure they were. Pretty sure. So, all right. Verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And here we see the gifts of healing. Now, if you're wondering, because there's some groups out there that believe that a lot of these gifts aren't for today, that a lot of these gifts were unique to the disciples and to the early church for kicking off the church. We don't believe that, okay? There's a fine line between, you know, no gifts and overusing the gifts, being very charismatic, they call it today. If you go into some churches, right, they're running all over the place and they're flopping on the floor and they're speaking in tongues, and that's the church that I grew up in, by the way. And, you know, everybody had words from God, and there was one time when the pastor's wife stood up and said, I had a vision of everyone who's going to hell, and I was like, was I in it? You know, I'm like, you don't tell a kid that, right? I mean, you scare them. This is bad stuff, right? It was overzealous for the gifts, very, very charismatic. And where are we at? We're like in the middle, okay? We don't overemphasize them, and we don't undervalue them. We believe the gifts are for the church. We also believe that God does things decent and in order, and that God would never interrupt the teaching of His Word for these gifts. We don't believe that. We don't believe that if I'm up here teaching and all of a sudden Heidi has a vision, she's going to stand up and say, hold on, Bill, God just tingled my spine. I got something. Okay, let's see what God says. No, God has already spoken here, right? And there's times and there's places for those gifts. But I would just encourage you that as we live in the body, right, as we fellowship together, God's going to start to use these gifts. And you do have to have faith in that too. You have to step out in faith a little bit. So the gift of healing is just what it says. That you're healed. Maybe it's you know, it could be a spiritual condition. It could be a financial condition. It could be a physical condition. It could be any of those things. And God gives us those gifts at times. And I think a lot of times we hinder the work of the Holy Spirit. I think God wants to use these more, but we hinder it. And that's another thing that I have with the charismatic side. I was always told as a kid, well, God, the Holy Spirit just takes over and you're smitten by the Holy Spirit. When I read smitten by the Holy Spirit in the Bible, it's not a good thing. It's usually like you are dead. It's like, oh, we'll be smitten by the Holy Spirit. You know, but they're like, I just can't control myself. And we're going to learn that that's not biblical, because we can control it, right? I can tell God, no thanks. God's not going to say, I don't care what you think, I'm going to make you say this. No. Have you guys ever been in a spot where maybe you felt like you should say something or you should do something, and you're like having this mental battle? No, I shouldn't say that. Oh, no, I can't. Ugh. No, what if I'm wrong? Oh, maybe it's just something I'm thinking of. Or, you know, have you ever done that? God wants you to say something, and you're like playing tennis with God, right? Like, no. God's like, yes. And you're like, no. God's eventually going to take his ball and his racket and go, okay, I'm going to go somewhere else, right? I think we hinder most of that work. I really do. Where you go to other places, other countries, usually, where they're not worried about how they look or how they think, or not how they think, but what people think of them. They're not necessarily worried about that, right? You see these gifts being blown away, right? People are using these things, and man, you're seeing this stuff happen. A lot of times you hear from missionaries that come across from other parts of the world. They're like, man, God did this. And you're like sitting there almost not believing it. And that's part of the problem, because you're not believing it. God wants to do these things. And healing is another thing. These gifts, these manifestation gifts, we just have to be so careful with. And I think James says, hey, if somebody is sick, let them call for the elders. So understand this. In James, it says if anybody is sick, meaning anybody, that person should call for the elders of the church. So contextually, if I go up to Dave and I say, hey, Dave, somebody so-and-so is sick, let's get him up here. That's not really what James is talking about. That person that's sick should say, hey, elders, would you pray for me? Now, why elders? Because I think when everybody lays hands on that person, and if that person is healed, nobody can take credit for it. I think that's why that happens. You know, in the firing squads, not everybody has a live bullet. Did you know that? Some people have blanks. And it's for the sake of the people in the fire squad, because they're thinking, well, maybe I have the blank and I didn't really kill them. Right? True story. So, got to be careful with that, because as soon as God works in your life and you heal somebody, oh man, you're on TV. I got the power. Guys, you got to so be careful with this. You got to handle this and always give the glory back to God. Get in the habit of that. Somebody comes up to you and says, man, nice job with that. Give it to God. Praise God. Thank you. The Bible says esteem one another. We should do that. We should do that, right? If the worship team is sounding good on a song or whatever, say, man, you guys did good today, right? That's biblical, but the worship team has to be careful, and they go and say, yeah, we did. Yeah, we practiced ultra really hard this week. Man, I nailed it. No, the worship team should be like, yeah, praise God. Praise God. I don't have a problem with that. Because if you guys come up to me and be like, man, God really spoke to you. That was an awesome message. Best message I ever heard. And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. God, yeah, that's totally God, because I didn't think of that. I know me. I know what I put into it. I know. I didn't write my own commentary. I got nothing. It's all from God. I promise you that. All right, moving on. Number 10. To another. So check this out. He's really pointing out to one, to another, to one, to another. The working of miracles. Okay, so the working of miracles. It's just that, right? Maybe you've got a miracle of strength and you lift a car off somebody. Or you got something else. Oh, well, that's the endorphins within the body. Hey, let's just give it to God, right? What's wrong with that? Why can I believe, or you know, sit there and believe that I got all these endorphins for super strength power, and that's okay, but it's not okay for me to say, man, God gave me some extra strength and I lifted that thing. People look at you like you're crazy. I look at them like I'm crazy when they think, oh, I got extra endorphins, because man, I try to get those endorphins going all the time and it don't work. It's just, I can't find this on switch for that. But certain kind of miracles, right? And there's all kinds of them. There's nothing specific, but it's this unique miracle that you just can't explain. You know, have you ever, for some reason, driving down a road and be like, you know, I think I'm going to turn left. And I don't know why. I just want to go this way. Your spouse is like, what are you doing? You know, that's MapQuest says this way. And you're like, I don't know. I just want to go this way. And then you find out there was a massive accident. Oh, I got one for you. This just happened recently to us. Where were we supposed to go, Heidi? I don't remember. We're supposed to go. Oh, Caitlin's birthday party. That's where it was. So we got on to 21 there. We're super late. Shocker. And we're like dawdling around. We had no sense of urgency. Seriously. They're like at the restaurant, right? Waiting for us, right? And we're like, do-do-do-do-do. Dawdling around like nothing. We get on 21. Massive accident. They closed the road. And it had just happened. And it's like, man, if we would have been on time, I just wonder if we would have been in the middle of that. I just wonder. You know? And both of us kind of turned around and, you know, and it's like, man, it's a good thing we were late, because if we would have left on time, we would have been in that. I think that was a miracle from God. I think that that happened. And I think that when you get to heaven and God's going to replay your life and you're going to see all the times he intervened, all those times that you lost your keys, all those times that whatever, you hit every red light. You hit every red light. God's like, I'm slowing you down because there's something ahead that I don't want you in. And it's just unfortunate we don't know these things, right? But we've got to have faith that these things, remember, all things work together for good to those who love him, right? And I think the gift of miracles, while that was kind of vague and generic, right, God still works these miracles, and I think he does them often, and we don't recognize it. Okay, moving on. To another prophecy. Now, remember, prophecy isn't always foreseeing the future. It's proclaiming the truth. If somebody's starting to get off path and you say something to them that's sound doctrine to get them back on the path, guess what? That's prophecy. That's foretelling the truth. Now, does God also give, you know, prophetic visions and things? Absolutely. He's done it to me a couple of times. And it happened just the way I explained it to you. We're having a conversation. And I said, well, what if this? Nah, we all laughed, right? And it was like, that was it. That was it. It's exactly what was to happen. Kind of interesting. A couple times that's happened for me. Another, discerning of spirits. This one's also happened to me too. So one time we were at a particular church and we were talking about things that were going on. Things weren't going on so well, right? And we were all sitting there talking, all the kind of leadership there, or maybe I was just talking with Heidi actually, and a particular person came up, and I said, well, what if he's the sheep, or the wolf in sheep's clothing? I said, what if he's it? And we looked at each other and like, no, couldn't be. And guess what? He was. But it was just that little discernment there that just was thrown out there. You know, have you ever been around somebody and you've got, me and Heidi call it the spidey senses. Our spidey senses are tingling. But it's like, yeah, something doesn't feel right. Have you ever gone into a place and be like, something doesn't feel right here? You know, whole towns. There's a town where we go to quite often, and every time we roll in, unfortunately there's family there, but every time we roll in, we're like, man, you just feel a heaviness. It's discerning spirits. Right? God can give that to you. It's discerning between right and wrong, discerning between good and evil. Sometimes we chalk it up as intuition. Give it to God. It's God. To another, differing kinds of tongues. Okay, the big one, tongues. So there's two different types of interpretations of tongues in this context here. One, the tongues that I believe happened in the first part of Acts there when they went out, and there were a whole bunch of people from all over the world, and they spoke in their language, right? That would be one. So all of a sudden, I would be talking like this, but you would be hearing me, if you were Spanish, you'd be hearing me in Spanish. Or I could be talking all of a sudden in Spanish, and listen, the only thing I know in Spanish is like, you know, taco, you know? I would just be talking in your language, and you would understand it, okay? That's one interpretation of the tongues. The other one is, it is very important, very, very important, it is my spirit talking to God, okay? Now, in context to both of them, in context to both of them, it is always praise. If somebody starts talking in tongues to you and say, that was a word from the Lord, it's wrong. It is a praise language and a word of adoration to God. If I start talking in tongues and the interpretation is, praise you, holy God, you are wonderful, you are amazing, whatever it is, that is a correct use of tongues and a correct interpretation of tongues. Remember that church I grew up in? They'd talk in tongues all the time. And they'd turn around and be like, oh, Dave, that was for you, and you better get your life right. That's what that tongue said. No, it's not true. That's the inappropriate use of tongues. So, sometimes in your prayer life, you don't know what to say. And here's where faith kind of comes in, church. If you want to start working on tongues, the best place to do it is all by yourself in the prayer closet, right? And you get to that point where you're praying and you're just like, I just don't know what to say. I don't know how to deal with this situation. And you just feel like, you know, you're just going to utter something. Just do it. Because maybe that's your spirit praying. And it's going to be praise. Now, some people say, well, will you interpret yourself? And I'll say, yeah, if you follow in the 1 Corinthians here, you should have the interpretation. But if I'm doing it as prayer, possibly not. So remember, there's two different contexts here. Okay? If I'm praying with understanding, then I'm not praying in tongues. But if I'm speaking in tongues with a group, it's always going to be praise to God. And there should always be an interpreter, okay? And that's where this comes into big fear, because some are like, oh, I'm not saying nothing, because what if nobody interprets it? Well, maybe that was just for you, or maybe that was your prayer to God. That's how I would chalk that up. Keep it humble and focus on that thing, and you'll be okay. You'll be okay. But that's a challenging one, right? Again, we don't do this one mainly because of pride, because we're embarrassed of it. We could be wrong. So right after tongues there, it's the another interpretation of tongues. So somebody says something in tongues and somebody else would be like, praise God, glory to you. They would interpret it. Again, if the interpretation is anything other than praise, it is incorrect. It is not the correct interpretation of tongues. Okay. All right, verse 11 as we close here. But to one and the same Spirit, tying this all back to the first portion of chapter 12 and Ephesians and Romans, this is all through the Spirit, all through the same God who works all these things. God works all these things. He does what? He distributes to each one individually as he wills. Okay? Where does it come from? It comes from God. And he distributes it as he wills. So, could God will you to have the gift of tongues on Monday, and then on Tuesday, now you've got the gift of prophecy for that particular situation? Absolutely. And so this is where I have a problem, where someone says, I have the gift of healing, because now I'm not allowing God to distribute as he wills. I've taken it from him. It's as I will. It's as he wills. So, as we close this today, understanding the three gifts, three sets of gifts, categories of gifts, the motivational, and hopefully, since we taught that 2 weeks ago, you kind of been looking at yourself and being, I kind of fit this category. I mean, you'll have a major, and then you'll have like a a minor category. You'd be like, I'm a little bit of both. Yep. Yeah, it could be. Right? What's your motivation? What is your gift? Understanding that that comes from God. Understanding you're critical. You're vital to the body, to the church. We need you. We need you, and we need that gift that God gave. He gave it to you. He didn't give it to me. Right? Christmas time, we bought all the grandkids gifts, and they all wanted each other's gifts. They didn't want the one again. I don't want that one. I want that one. Crazy. Even if we bought them all the same one, right? You buy different colors so they keep it. Well, I want the green one. Well, I want the red one. Then they trade, and then 2 minutes later, I want mine back. We're just like that. We never grow up. I want your gift. I want your gift. You need to have this gift. But you are vital. Hopefully you've looked and you've seen. And if you want to have more conversation with me on that, on the side or whatever, feel free. We'll coach you through it, right? We'll help you find it. And then the gift of the ministry. Again, you're vital. You're important. Okay? It's not a, well, do I feel like coming to church today, or do I not feel like, or do I have other important things to do? You're having that conversation with God. God has given you a gift. Yes, every one of you has a gift. Don't think you don't. God has given you that gift, and He's saying, I need you at church because you are a vital part. You need to be there. So it's not a conversation of, yeah, I got better things to do. God is saying, I have a better place for you. I've given you a gift. I need you to go use it. Remember what Romans said? This is your reasonable sacrifice, church. This is your reasonable. Listen, being a Christian, yeah, it's about receiving, but it's also about then sacrificing. Okay? That is your reasonable service. I don't know why we don't understand this as much as we should. And we all struggle with this. I'm not going to say I got it figured out. But we all struggle with, I have a part, God has a plan, and He needs me. Have you ever put together a big old puzzle and you miss that one piece to complete everything? And you're thinking, oh, it's just this border piece, or it's just this piece that really doesn't have anything to do with the main picture. But without that piece, it is what? Incomplete. You're a vital piece to God's picture here at the church. It shouldn't be a question of whether I feel like it or I've got other things to do. Now, understand, because I'm going to miss next Sunday, so don't be like, you hypocrite! Understand, we got things to do, right? There's times we come and there's things we take off. There's times we got other things to do. I'm talking about, what is the practice of your life, okay? What is the practice of your life? And it should never be a conversation of, well, I got A or I got B. When it comes to just this one little time, it is vital. And not just for you, but it's vital for us as a church body. And then we move into the manifestation gifts, right? It's all by the same Spirit. And I would say, hey, have that faith, right? If God's nudging you, if He's giving you a little hint, yeah, jump on it and see where it goes. Because it is for the profit of all. That gift is also needed for the vital. And you know what's all cool about this? Is that when you stand before God, after you take your last breath here, and you stand before God, and you do these things, you know what He's going to say to you? Well done, my good and faithful servant. He didn't say, well done, my good and effective servant. Just be faithful. Just show up. Show up. Be faithful. Be available. God never works on my life. Yeah, you're never available. You're never here. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And then you're going to live, and He's going to give you all these rewards for doing the things that He already gave you the gift to do. Isn't that crazy? It's like the kid, right? The little kid, the little three-year-old that you take to the store, and you buy the Christmas gift, and you take it home, and you help them give it, wrap it up, and then they give it to their whoever they're giving it to, The kid gets all the praise, right? And you're like, that stinking little kid didn't do nothing. I did it all. But that's you, right? That's you. God gave you everything, and you're just using it. And then he's going to give you a reward for that. And you're going to be so blown away that you're going to turn around and throw it back at him. It's your reasonable and faithful service, church. And listen, we're headed towards those end times. We're there, okay? Again, it might still be 10, 20 years, 100 years from now. We don't know. But we can see the season. We can see the storms are brewing. Time's getting close. It's time. It's time to show up. It's time. Lord, we thank you for these gifts. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that fills us and enables us. And Lord, as we go out today, I just want to pray for the church, Lord, that if there's anybody here that does not know what their gift is, that you would just reveal it to them, Lord. That you would give them that word of knowledge, that word of wisdom, Lord, that right now as we're still sitting here, Lord, you would speak to their heart. Because this gift you have given to each and every one of us, Lord, so there's no one excluded. And so as you're sitting there, ask the Lord, what would you have me do? And then listen. You may not get that answer right away, but what do? Continue to listen. Continue to ask. Lord, I ask that you would just bless this church. That you would fill us afresh with your Spirit, Lord. You would fill us afresh with your gifts. Lord, we ask for these. You've already told us that you're going to give it to us, Lord, so we receive them. Lord, make us a light in this dark world. Strengthen us, Lord, as a church body. And all these things are possible because you so loved us, you sent your only begotten Son.